our Father. And you know, He is our Father. Yes. And all other fatherhood gets their name from Him, because He's the Father of all fathers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you know, today is where we honor natural fathers, but I tell you what, we need to honor God as being our Father every day. Every day is Father's Day there, as far as that's concerned. And like Clyde said, we were talking about praise back there in the Sunday school class, and some of you guys should probably get the CDs if you didn't make it into the class and listen to. We're talking out of the 7th chapter of Revelations. And there's some mighty beautiful truths there if you'll pick up on them, you know. But you all can be seated. Praise God. If we could have a couple ushers. Clyde, maybe at the end of the service, would you just stand back here and we'll collect the offering at the end of the service rather than going around, okay? Appreciate it. You know, I was questioning the Lord, and I kind of thought, well, Lord, what would you have me share on today? And I felt like He wanted me to go into Ephesians, the first chapter. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and read some of that first chapter there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Father, that we can call You Father. You know, Jesus didn't say to call You by any other name than Father. And you know, that's a personal name. And that means, you know, that You're in control of our lives and that we should trust You in everything. And I just ask You, Father, to help us to just be obedient to the things that You speak to our heart. I ask You to cause us to increase and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You each and every day, that we might grow up into that, even what You say in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, that we'll come to the unity of the faith, unto the really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I thank You, Father, that Your purpose for man has never changed from the beginning in Genesis when You said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let him have dominion. And Father, I believe that that's always been Your purpose, and that You haven't changed from that. And we know that a lot of people are operating in the old Adam nature out there, but You know, You also tell us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, You tell us that was the first man of the earth was earthly, and the second man was the Lord from heaven, the last Adam. And Father, You're moving us up into that last Adam nature. Help us to begin to see what You'd have us do and be obedient, that we might do the works that You've preordained for us to do. And we'll be most careful to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because You alone are worthy of it all. And we thank You. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I love the first chapter of Ephesians. Great chapter. I'm going to read it to you out of the King James. I kind of like the King James. A lot of people don't like it. I kind of grew up on it, you know. And, you know, I've done a lot of word studying through it, you know. There's a lot of things coordinated to it. You know, Strong's Concordance is coordinated to the King James. And, you know, I'm going to start reading here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, I love that because Paul knew that he was apostle by the will of God. You know, he also knew that God had called him before he was formed in his mother's womb. And I got news for you. He called all of you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You might not think so sometimes, but I got news for you. All the things that you went through, all of the bad things that you think happened in your life or whatever, he knew about all that before it ever happened. And I tell you what, he had his hand on you right out of the womb. Praise God. Verse 2 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know, he's already blessed you. And a lot of times the reason we don't receive some of the blessings is because we don't believe we're going to receive them. You have to believe to receive. You know, if you don't believe, you won't receive. I mean, I know, and that's rhymes. I might bust out in a poem here in a minute. but you know what? It's true. If you don't believe, you won't receive. And you know, different times Jesus went forward, and he said that there was not many miracles done in certain areas because of their unbelief. And you know, even in areas where you find yourself sometimes in a situation of unbelief, I think you need to do like the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And there was one, and I believe she was the one that said, help my unbelief. And God will even help your unbelief. And a lot of people will say, you know, but Oscar, I don't have faith for certain things. Well, yes, you do. Every man is dealt a measure of faith. And that measure is just enough. And it's actually more than enough most of the time. But all it takes is for you to activate it and begin to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to move and flow when you have me move and flow. And I'm going to receive the blessings that you give me. You know. And said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the places really isn't in there. That's an italicized word. So really, if we read it the right way, it would say, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven and heavenly in Christ, in the heavenlies in Christ. And you know, a lot of times when you say places, that makes you think like you got to go someplace to get that blessing. But you know, Jesus was standing right before the people one time, and he said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. Now, he was standing there in front of them. And what did he mean by that? He meant, I have the attitude that I'm in heavenly places, and I'm in the altitude where I'm in heavenly places. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you don't claim the promises that God says are yours, you'll walk lower than what he's promised you. And it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you know that before anything was even created, you were already on his mind? You were already a part of him? He had to impart his life to you. I'm going to tell you what, if the Spirit of God withdraws itself from you right now, this old body will fall over and it'll turn back into a clump of dirt if it lays there long enough. It might stink a little while before it gets there, but it'll turn back into a clump of dirt. And I tell you what, you know, he chose you before the foundation of the world. You think you chose him a lot of times, but I got news for you. You didn't. He chose you. And, you know, a lot of times we think, well, I gave my life to the Lord. Well, you know, when I was a kid sometimes, and this is funny, and I thought back on it many, many times. When I was a kid, I had a lot of friends who were Catholic, you know. I mean, I lived over in Mount Auburn and in Cincinnati, and a lot of my friends were Catholic. And I hadn't committed my life to the Lord, but I was questioning a lot of things. And I even asked one time, I asked one of them, I says, why do you guys pray through Mary? Well, you know, I don't know. Let's call the priest. He called the priest, and I talked to the priest. And I told him, I said, why do you guys pray through Mary? He said, well, this is the explanation he gave me. He said, well, if I want something from you, I figure if I go to your mother, she has a greater influence on you than I would have. And that was his explanation of why they prayed through Mary. But you know, I'd seen in scriptures where there's only one name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. There's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And we have a tendency, a lot of times, we put the preacher as the minister, the go-between. We put the prophet as the go-between. We put the evangelist as the go-between. I got news for you. You don't need no go-between. What you need to do is, when Oscar's up here talking to you, if you don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking out of me, then just let it go. I'll tell you. Don't pay any attention to it. But if God speaks to you, then you listen. Because he uses people. He speaks through people sometimes. But, you know, when he speaks through someone else, you'll know his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. And what you need to do is pray that God give you spiritual ears to hear his voice. And you need to pray that he give you the five spiritual senses and that you function in those five spiritual senses rather than just the five natural senses. But I love that he says here, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you know that you're holy and that you're without blame before him in love? You said, but Oscar, you don't know what I did last night. I did something I probably shouldn't have last night. I don't care. You're holy. You know why you're holy? Because he says you are. You know why you're without blame? Because Jesus died on Calvary for all your sins, the sins of the whole world. Not just your sins, but the sins of the whole world. You know what the difference between you and somebody out there in the world is? They don't know it. You do. That's the only difference. They don't know it, and you do. You know, having predestined us unto the adoption of children. You know what predestination, a lot of people get hung up on predestination. They get a little scared when you start talking predestination. But all that really means is that it was set in motion beforehand is what it really means. It was already determined beforehand, you know. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I love what that word adoption there means. It means placing as a son. Placing as a son. And you know what? You say, well, Brother Oscar, I'm a woman. That doesn't make no difference. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. You're a son, too. You have the authority of a son. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And that word for children there is the word weos. And that word there is a word that means a mature son. Now, you might not be totally all that you're going to be in God right now. But he knows what you're going to be. Jesus was the last Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if we've bore the image of the earthly and we're going to bear the image of the heavenly, then what is that full maturity going to look like? It's going to look just like Jesus. It's going to look just like Jesus. In Romans, the 8th chapter says he was the firstborn among many brethren. You know, I love in the Old Testament, you know, God showed a lot of things. A lot of people have a problem with the Old Testament. I don't. I love the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, the Bible is the Bible, okay? Now, the laws and the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, he took them and nailed them to the tree. Scripture tells us that in the New Testament. So we don't have to worry about all those laws and all that other stuff. What we need to do is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we will fulfill the true laws of God, which is that we love one another and love other people and treat them with love. You do that, and you're fulfilling all the purposes that God has, you know. But anyway, when you look at that we've been adopted, or we've been placed as a son, and that's really, he's saying a weo son, a full-grown son. That's not a little bitty kid. By Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. It's his good pleasure that he gave you that position. You know, when I married Margaret, it was my good pleasure to marry her. I was really pleased. Even though we were late for the wedding, even though my brother's car broke down and he asked me, and I didn't know if he was hurt, and he called me and said, come down there quick. I went down there, and he had wrecked his car by trying to, he said the accelerator stuck, but I think he pulled out of the gas station and tried to burn rubber showing off, and it got away from him and he hit a telephone pole. He had a pretty fast car then, and hit a telephone pole. He wasn't hurt. So I go down there to get him, and I'm supposed to be at the wedding because I'd worked a half a day anyway because we needed the money. So I go down there to get him, and when I get down there, he's wanting to take his mag wheels off and everything else. And I told him, I said, man, I'm getting married, you know. Well, yeah, but I got to get my wheels. Somebody will steal them. So we go to the wedding, and we... neither one of us had been to that church before. Margaret's sister set up where we were going to get married for us. We didn't have any money. We had a little teeny wedding, you know, it was nothing. And anyway, so it was out in Loveland. So I finally get him home, and I jump in the shower and I get dressed, and we're running kind of late anyway. So we get out to Loveland. And I was following the directions that Margaret's sister gave us. Don't never let somebody's sister give you directions. Thank God for GPSs nowadays. So what happens? I keep driving up and down the street, and I cannot find this church. And Margaret will tell you, and she was telling somebody about this yesterday, she said her sister and them were late getting there too, but I was real late. She said, I thought I was about 30 minutes late. She said I was about an hour late. And probably was an hour. And she said, so naturally her sister says to him, you think he changed his mind? He's not coming? So our wedding pictures, we both looked a little haggard. I was an hour late. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't find this church. So eventually, I asked people around there, I said, do you know where this particular church is? And it was a Baptist church. I said, do you know where this particular Baptist church is? And none of them knew. I mean, that was bad. I mean, I'm stopping to ask people, you know where this church is? Nobody knew. And finally, I'm driving up the street again, and I see the sign, and it's behind a tree. The church sign was behind a tree. That's not a good place to put your sign if you want people to come to your church. So I did get there eventually. So, but you know what? God knew all that was going to happen. And I think sometimes the calamity that starts your life off in situations is the very thing that you look back on. And we were talking to some people yesterday because they're getting married, and they had a shower here. And basically, I told him, I said, so don't feel bad if things don't go exactly the way you want them to. It'll probably make it better in the long run, you know. But anyway, you know, God knows what he's doing. You know, he has predestined us unto adoption of children unto the placing of sons as the Weos children by the pleasure of his good will, you know, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. He wants you to know the mystery of his will. Now let's see what the mystery of his will is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, if he gathers together all things in Christ, how many's all things? I like the word all. It's all. That means all. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. In other words, he had this thing all figured out way beforehand, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, when I first got saved, I went into a Sunday school class years ago, and the Lord let me see that scripture, and it just jumped off the page at me when I saw it, that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And, you know, I got saved over 50 years ago. And, you know, I was about 19 or 20 when I got saved. I guess I was about 20 when I got saved, somewhere around 20. And I was in this Sunday school class, and the person who was teaching the Sunday school class said some things. And I said, well, in Ephesians it says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And he said, you can't believe that. I mean, because, you know, that means the good things, the bad things, the fun things, and the not so fun things, and everything else. Now, that's a pretty heavy scripture when you think about it. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And why does he do that? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted that ye heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, remember, believe and receive, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We were talking about being sealed back there in Revelations a lot. And that means to be stamped with a signet ring. And I'm going to tell you what. When you're stamped with a signet ring of God, you're stamped with his authority. You're stamped with his protection. You're stamped with everything that that means. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that man can do to you that God doesn't allow it to happen. Now, that's a tough statement to say, because, you know, you can have some pretty rough things happen. But I'm going to tell you what. If you will trust him and you will believe, then you know what? You will end up receiving the answer to whatever you're in there. You'll learn something out of it. I've told people this many times. I learned to say this years ago. When I find myself in a situation where I don't really know what's happening and I don't really know what's going on, I tend to try to pray and say, Lord, help me learn the lesson that I'm supposed to learn in this situation quickly, please. Quickly. I like quickly. And I'll tell you what, if we grumble and complain and mumble and do everything else, we won't learn the lesson quickly. Because what we'll do is that we won't really believe that he's in control, that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's the sovereignty of God. And you know, I can remember years ago when I first started talking about the sovereignty of God, God being sovereign. When I first started talking about it, I had to say it to people a lot of times. And I had some people kind of argue with me about it. You know, I mean, I had some people get a little argumentative with me about it a couple of times. And, you know, I told them, I said, when he says he works all things after the counsel of his own will, that's all things. Now, you know, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, and you believe, let's say you believe that the devil is coming against God and winning in some situation, I got news for you. He's not. You know, God took me to the book of Job one time, and you know, Job was one of the most righteous men on the face of the earth, it says. Good men, ensued evil and all that. Good man. And there came a time, it says, when Satan came with the angels of God before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, it says back there in the book of Job, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the face of the earth. Upright man, he ensues evil. And Satan said to the Lord, doesn't he fear you for a good reason? You've placed a hedge about him. And I got news for you. You got a hedge about you. There's nothing can touch you unless God allows it to touch you. Nothing. I'm telling you. You know, you might not like me saying that, but I'm going to tell you, that's the word. And Satan said to him, well, let me touch his family. You know, basically. And he said, I'll get him to curse your name. God says, just don't take his life. What happened with Job? He was one of the richest men in the East. He loses his money. His children are having a banquet, and the house collapses on them, and a bunch of them die. Then Satan says to the Lord, he says, basically skin for skin, let me touch his body. And he's smitten with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Now, I've had a boil maybe once, one boil. It hurt a lot. You touch it, it hurts. You bump up against something, it hurts. But he was smitten with them from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And then to make things worse, his wife comes to him. And he's actually sitting down in a bunch of ashes, taking a broken pot, scraping the boils, trying to get them off of him. He's lost everything he's had, and he's sitting there scraping the boils. And she looks at him, and she tells him, oh, honey, it'll get better. No, that ain't what she said to him. She said, Job, how long are you going to retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? Now, it don't get no worse than that. That's your little honey telling you, why don't you just curse God and get it over with and die? And you know, Job was wise. And he said to her, he said, woman, shall we receive only good at the hand of the Lord and not also evil? Now, that's a pretty tough statement to make. And it goes ahead and says a verse or so down from there, it says, and in all these things, did Job not charge God foolishly or curse with his lips? And you know what? Not only that happened, but then all of a sudden, all of his buddies come around all of the elders of the church. Well, Job, you know, you must have done something wrong. Because God, you know, God don't really let this stuff happen to good folk, you know. You sure you didn't got a secret sin somewhere or didn't do something or what's going on, you know? And you know, they were Job's comforters. And Job kind of stood up for himself. No, I didn't do anything, you know, and all this and that. And he kind of argues back and forth with them a little, goes a couple chapters and talks about it. And then the Lord finally speaks to Job and he says, you know, Job, you think you got all the answers, don't you? He says, and I'm paraphrasing this. He says, where were you when the morning stars leapt for glory, for joy? Where were you when this happened? Where were you when that happened? And he starts saying things to Job, and Job don't have an answer. And I'm going to tell you what, when you start arguing with God and start trying to tell him what he should and shouldn't be doing, he'll speak to you in ways that you ain't going to like. And he basically started telling him, where were you when all this happened? And finally, Job come to the realization that he was a pretty self-righteous guy. Yeah, he was a good man in the natural. But I got news for you. Scripture says there's none good but God. I don't care how good you are, you ain't good. The only goodness you got in you is the amount of him that's inside of you. And basically he said to him, and Job repented and asked God's forgiveness, really what happened. And when he did, God restored him and gave him everything back. You know, we listened to some CDs years ago from one of the ladies that came to church here one time. And I love her story because she's funny when she tells her stories. But she basically talked about how she got saved. And she said she was Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, all these different things. She said, wherever the good-looking guys was, that's what I was, you know. She went to all these different churches. and you know, sometimes with young people, you can kind of identify with that, you know. But, you know, she talked about how that the Lord got a hold of her husband first, and he was Catholic, and she said he was more Catholic than the Pope was. And, I mean, she said he was a devout Catholic. And this was back during the charismatic move in the 70s when this happened. And God was really pouring out his spirit in the Catholic Church. I mean, Catholic priests were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were getting healing ministries, and a lot of things were happening back then, you know. Anyway, her husband got saved, and then it ended up where her and her husband eventually ended up out in ministry, you know. And they were very wealthy. Really wealthy. I mean, she said they had planes and Lexuses and all that kind of stuff, and they were extremely wealthy. And she said that the Lord spoke to her one time and said, you can stay where you're at, but if you really want to go on to know me in the fullness in a greater way. And she said, yes, Lord, I do. And she said, the Lord said, give it all away. Give it all away. And she said, I said to the Lord, well, how do I do that? He said, put an ad in the paper. And she said, she went and told her husband, and her husband told her, said, you sure you heard from the Lord? She was giving his stuff away because he was the one out in the real estate and everything. And finally, I guess he agreed to it too. God must have spoke to him. And she said, she run an ad in the paper, and she said, all the people from the church was the ones that came and got the stuff. And she said, my mother-in-law stood there and cried and said, you're giving away the baby's inheritance. You're giving away the baby's inheritance. She said, we ended up out in the wilderness living in a log cabin because we gave our house away and everything. And she said, you know, we tried to do what the Lord said. She said, and then I got mad at God. And, you know, sometimes when you are obedient and you do what God tells you, sometimes you get mad. And she said she got mad at God. And when she got mad at God, she said, I didn't take a shower. I didn't comb my hair. I wore this old robe. It had food all over it and everything. She says, I was just mad at God, and I was mad at my husband. She said, my husband got sick where he couldn't work. And she said, I got on him. I told him, anybody don't provide for their family is worse than an infidel. So she was getting on everybody. She was mad. She said, but even in the midst of that, God used her a little bit. She said this guy was over firing a gun in a trailer not too far from where their house was. And she said, I got mad, and I went stomping over there. And she said, I busted through the door. And I told him, give me that gun. What are you doing over here? And she said, I scared him half to death. She said, because I come in there looking all crazy and everything. And she told him he was going to have to give his life to the Lord or something. And I think she got him saved. But anyway, but she said she went back home. And she said she was laying in the bed at night. And she said that the Lord spoke to her while she was laying there. And she said she could see her husband laying there. And the moonlight was shining in on his face. And she said he looked kind of angelic laying over there. And she said, I'm laying there. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, will you marry me? And he said, I said, yes. Yes, Lord. And she said, I thought, how am I going to tell my husband that the Lord wants me to marry him? And she said, about a couple minutes later, he popped up into bed and said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to marry Jesus. The Lord was dealing with him about the same thing. You know, God never lets you be unequally yoked together. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, you know, Margaret will tell me at times, she'll say, well, you know, I'm not as much into the Word as you and all this and that. And she's not. But she does so many things for me and keeps things going. I tell you what, I don't know what I'd do without her. I couldn't do a lot of the things. She makes sure that things get done around here and all kind of things. And I mean, I'm telling you, she takes care of a lot of things, a lot of stuff. She really does. And I so appreciate her. But she said after that, she said before that, she'd look out the window and she'd look at the trees before God spoke to her. She said she'd look at the trees and stuff, and she felt like they was almost like they was making fun of her. They looked all evil and everything, like, you know, ha, 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 look what you got. You know, you believed God, you know, that kind of thing. And she said, but after Jesus spoke to her and she told him, yes, Lord, I'll marry you, she said, all of a sudden, everything looked beautiful outside. Attitude, altitude. Attitude, altitude. And she said, all of a sudden, it ended up where the husband got better. Doors started open for them to go out and minister again. She said, God gave them back everything that they had and more than what they had before. And you know, so many times you might find yourself in situations where you got family members, you got things that are just, you think, God, what else can go wrong? I've done everything I know how to do to try to straighten this situation out. The one thing you didn't do is totally give it to the one who can straighten it out. You know, I've told this story before about my mother with her friend Christine. They used to have them Bible studies at my house when I was a kid. I'd hear him, mother and Christine and this other lady, they'd be in the back room, and I'd hear them just praising the Lord, just praying up a storm for this one and that one and all this and that. And, you know, Christine's husband, Ralph, he had, I think his name was Ralph, he had sugar diabetes really bad, and he had an insulin reaction or something. And I mean, she said, I tried everything to get him out of that. You know, I did all the stuff you're supposed to do. And she said, he just wasn't coming out of it. And she said, after I'd tried everything I knew to do and nothing was happening, she said, it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you try me? And she said, the minute I started praying for him, he popped right out of that. And you know, we have a tendency that we go there last and we should go there first. That should always be our first place to go. And I want you to know, He made known, he's making known unto you the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he's purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are even in the earth. That's the mystery. And part of that mystery that he's revealed to you is Christ in you, which has been mystery which has been hidden from past generations, but now is made clear. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he wants you to come to realize that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, he's going to bring it all to a conclusion eventually. And it's going to come into a oneness in Christ. You know, I love what Jesus prayed, what I always consider his high priestly prayer, and I believe it was his high priestly prayer. Before he was crucified, he prayed and he said, Father, I pray that they might be one, as you and I are one. You and me and them. He said, and then, he basically said, then the world will believe when we become one. You can send out 900,000 evangelists out there, but until the church grows up and becomes one with him and really begins to function in him as one man. You know, I shared on the internet a story about Gideon, and I shared part of that last week. And I told you all that the Lord told Gideon to go, and this thy might have not I sent you. You know, and when God sends you, you go. Whatever you got, if you ain't got nothing, you go and nothing. And you know what? It'll be exactly what you need. But anyway, he told Gideon that he was going to bring down the Amalekites. And he said, it'll be as, you'll do it as one man. And I'm going to tell you what, you can try everything that you can to try to make things happen. But until you yield yourself to the Lord and let the Lord move through you and do what he tells you to do, it ain't going to happen because you can't make it happen. You can only allow him to flow through you and situations change. And a lot of times we wonder, why is it that certain situations haven't changed that we've prayed about? And it's because a lot of times he will leave that situation there until it's worked the work in you that it's supposed to work in you. And I know that sounds kind of harsh when you say that, but sometimes God will let it go. You know, Paul besought the Lord three times about his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh is. We know he was stoned and basically, I think he died, and the people stood around him and prayed, and he rose back up. We know that he was shipwrecked. We know he was had a lot of situations. And I got news for you. Some of us, if those things happened to us, we'd have been crying uncle a long time ago. Because when we get fussed at work or something, or some little thing happens, we get blowed away. Paul had major things happen to him. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows exactly what you need because he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And sometimes you're not going to like the things that he's working after the counsel of his own will. But like we were talking back there in Sunday school, if you'll learn to praise him in all situations, in all circumstances, no matter what's happening in your life, not praise him for the situation and the circumstance, praise him in spite of it. In spite of it. Don't praise him because you say, well, God, I know if I praise you, it'll go away and it'll change. Because you got the wrong attitude there. And you won't ascend to the right altitude there. But if you'll just praise him in spite, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise God. But I just want you to know, folks, you were adopted. You were placed as a son. And if you're walking lower than your adoption papers, you know, I've seen some people, when they have adopted children, those kids will say to them, yeah, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm really your kid. And you know the greatest thing that you can say to an adopted kid is, I didn't choose the other kids. I chose you. You're special. And you know what? He chose you before the foundation of the world. You're special. There's none like you in all the rest of the earth. You're the only one that can do the things that he's preordained for you to do. You're the only one. Praise God. Well, if you all close, stand, I'll close. I hope this has ministered to you in some way. You know, God sometimes speaks through us in situations sometimes that are harsh situations. And I just want you to know that regardless of what happens in your life, if you'll just trust him and if you'll just praise him in the middle of every situation and every circumstance. And I'm not telling you I'm there. I'm learning this too, you know. And I'm wanting to do this too. Because I know that if I'll do this and I get sealed by him in this situation to where that's, I do it all the time, then I'm going to tell you what, I will have taken a great step in growing up in him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless your people. I give you all the praise and all the glory. I ask you that this little word I've shared here today, that it ministers to them. And Father, we thank you that you are the Father of all things. All things were made by you and for you, and was without you was not anything made that is made. And you're before all things, and all things consist by you. And you're in control of it all. And we acknowledge your control here today. We acknowledge you as being the supreme God. And we give you all glory, all praise, and all honor. In the name above all names, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.